It's Thursday, 27th of April, and this is the Game Grin Grincast. Slightly different voices host today. It's me, Ace. Hamiltonius is sunning himself, no doubt. And our intrepid co-host, Cal, is unavailable for unknown reasons. Dark, mysterious reasons, no doubt. So joining me are Cello.
Ciao.
Puce.
Hello.
And Spherical Cat.
Hello.
Let's try that again. And Spherical Cat.
Hello.
Much better. Right, this week we're talking... our main topic is going to be games that will suck, because it's the end of the month. So games that will suck for May. But before that, a bit of news. The reveal trailer for Call of Duty WW2 came out yesterday, day before. And it's a World War II game, if the title didn't clue you into that. Did everyone watch the trailer?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Are we excited by it?
Yes. Well, excited is a strong word.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I'm definitely interested. I won't say excited, but I'm interested.
I'm positively ungiddy, I will say.
Well, personally, my thought is that you can only have so many World War II games before you have personally killed more Nazi soldiers than the entire Allied forces did. But, I'm just not a COD person.
I always like Call of Duty myself, so I don't have a problem with new ones. Like, I played in once a year, so I don't really care. But yeah, I think it's a good idea to come back to World War II, because the Modern Warfare 1 is boring, and 2 was really getting out of hand.
Well, it wasn't modern. The last one was Infinite.
Which is more modern than modern.
Which is definitely out of hand.
It's super modern. So what game will be released as a HD remaster with this one?
Modern Warfare 2? No.
Modern War, perhaps?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
That would make sense, actually. That'd actually be pretty interesting, because that was a good game. I did enjoy World at War.
But it probably isn't going to be, because it's a Treyarch game, and this one is Sledgehammers.
Yeah, I'm kind of pleased that it's Sledgehammer, actually, because I did quite enjoy Advanced Warfare, the campaign at least, even though it was a bit stilted and woodenly acted in places, but it was actually quite an interesting campaign to play through.
That's the one with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
It was nice.
So if it has to be a Sledgehammer game... remastered, it'll be Modern Warfare 2 or Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, and Advanced Warfare is too recent, I think. So if they were going to do that again, it seems like it makes sense that it was Modern Warfare. So,
but I don't think they're going to do it. It's way too soon for that.
I think they're assuming the gimmick of going back to World War 2 is enough to sell it this time, that they don't need to add a suite.
Yeah,
They'll probably release WW2 and also the HD remaster from the last title, whatever that was, as its own DLC.
As a standalone.
Thank you. God, that word was just not coming to me.
Yeah, Modern Warfare. I mean, they always said that we're never going to release it separately, and that was the only way you're going to get it, but I've got a feeling that it's like a year on now, they're probably going to renege on that and sell it separate at some point.
Yeah, never is a long time.
It's just a shame they ruined it.
Yeah, with all of added microtransactions and things, didn't they?
Yep.
That's what you get for liking an Activision game. It's your own fault.
Yeah, my concerns with World War II is that from the trailer, I mean, the show began with Normandy, and it's like, how many times are we going to do that set piece? I'm sure it'll be a lot more impressive this time, because it's a modern game, but it's still the same set piece from... It's still going to feel the same, I think. It's got a hurdle to jump over to feel fresh, I think. I don't know what it's going to do that makes it stand out.
Well, I hope that they do what they've done in previous COD game, well, not for a while now, but in Modern Warfare, where you had different protagonists and so you sort of did different things, and so maybe we can see some of the Russian front and some of the African war, and just do other bits, and they've just used this as the most iconic battle of World War II in the eyes of the everyman.
Yeah, it's the most recognisable.
They actually did the multiple protagonist stuff on Call of Duty 2.
Yeah,
a little bit. And I'm not sure it's actually Omaha Beach this time, Pius, because the Operation Overlord had more than 6 different landing points, and all of them looked pretty much the same, except for a little bit near Norway. You have Utah Beach and Point to Hawk and Omaha Beach and Gold Beach and Sword Beach and Juno Beach. So you have like a lot of other places that they landed, and all of them have pretty much the same, you know, disposition of forces, the same landing boats and everything like that. So we could be landing somewhere else that is not Normandy, which would be different in theory, but, you know, not so different in execution, depending on how they depict it.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, yeah.
And about what Kathy said, we can't really cover the African campaign because it had ended by almost 2 years at this point. That was 1943. We are 1944, almost 1945 on the...
That's presuming what we saw in the trailer is the opening of the game.
Yeah, that's true. We could actually include earlier stuff, I guess, as well.
It does look pretty much like the opening, like the way the camera shows. So I like that they came back with the whole cinematic stuff. Like, you know, they are still following that whole thing about your captain looking at you and speaking to you in the middle of fire and shit going on and people dying. Like, I like that they retain that, because it's what really separates Call of Duty from the other shooters.
And I liked the how sort of cinematic some of the set pieces looked, whereas, so we've not really had modern tech World War II to this sort of scale, so you had the water tower or whatever, the tower falling over, and that looked really good. I'm interested to see what they do with all of that.
It's apparently going to have a zombie mode, but this time Nazi zombies.
They did a live stream where they're like, yeah, we're going back to boots on the ground, it's going to be realistic and it's going to be really good and whatever. Also Nazi zombies.
That's amazing. But doesn't Rebellion kind of hold the monopoly on Nazi zombies with their zombie army trilogy?
I think one of the first zombie, like the first zombie mode was against Nazis, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back which game had it first.
It was World at War.
I think it was World at War, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so, it was either World of War or Black Ops. I think it was Black Ops. Because you had the whole thing about changing the, you know, the screen. Remember that? Changed then. The zombies broke the wall.
No, because Black Ops, the zombie mode, was the one where you played as the president and whatever.
Ah.
The one that followed straight on after the credits scene in the campaign, and that just led straight into the zombie mode.
Apparently, World at War, Black Ops, Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 3 all had Nazi zombies in. There is a Wikipedia page called Nazi Zombies.
Wow. I do not understand World's obsession with zombies, let alone with Nazi zombies.
Well, not only can you kill them, but you can kill them again.
But I don't know if anyone cares about historical accuracy in regards to Call of Duty. I would guess no. But when Alex mentioned on the room before the podcast started that the trailer had a weird depiction of the MG42, which is like the most famous machine gun in the Second World War. And yeah, they actually got that wrong. They got that so many degrees of wrong that anyone with the mildest understanding of World War II would cringe. They actually changed the rate of fire and a little bit of the look of the gun and the sound of the gun. So it actually doesn't look or sound like a proper machine gun from World War II. It sounds like a Michael Bay movie. Which, it can be worrisome if it reflects the game design, but it can be okay if it's just stupid marketing people doing stupid marketing things. Just like to throw that in the air in case anyone is interested because of history.
I mean, this is old history anyway, so...
That's why there's zombies.
Every COD.
Yeah, but the zombie mode was always, like, separated, so I could understand that.
Yeah,
it probably...
Oh, sorry, Katty, here you go.
I was just going to say, it probably was just marketing people wanting to make it look a bit more visually impressive for that sequence.
Piers, you said you wanted... you were hoping that it wouldn't just be France again because it's World War II. According to Wikipedia, the campaign will cover fighting in occupied France, Belgium, and across the Rhine into Germany.
Okay, then definitely it starts with the landings.
Because we've never played games in those World War II games in those places.
I think they're going for a more broaderly feel. Like they're trying to. Well, if you think about it, they don't know how to engage World War II in a meaningful way. The only thing that actually broke into mainstream was Saving Private Ryan 20 years ago. And that's what led to Call of Duty and Band of Brothers and Company of Heroes. So the only thing people know how to do is a squad of soldiers who don't like each other but become brothers and then everybody dies. So I guess they're just going for the same thing because, especially with the whole like political climate of the world right now, people are not going to put Russians in there. I'm going to put people, you know, favoring the motherland when Trump and Putin are so weird at the same time.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've always thought it would be interesting to see a World War II game, or even a World War I game from the opposite side. I mean, I know it wouldn't be very popular and it's hard to get people interested in playing the bad guys, in quotes, but I think it'd be an interesting perspective change.
I think it would be awesome.
You say it's hard to get people to play the bad guys, but isn't that basically the whole point of some video games?
Well, and I don't know, it's just these things tend to be portrayed as being patriotic and like a positive spin. I think people see these things a bit differently.
It's not like America's lacking in people who are acting kind of Nazi-ish.
I think it's more of a taboo point because like the only problem with the Nazis are the fact. Like the whole genocide, the Holocaust stuff. Like the military side was pretty much the same as almost everybody else. So they're not really bad guys when they're fighting a war. They're bad guys because of the atrocities they committed on a civil and research level. But, you know, day to day, fighting on the trenches, fighting on the beaches, fighting on... That's not really bad guys or good guys. They're just two people fighting each other. So as long as they can get past the whole taboo thing of associating Nazis with the genocide and making like a proper military campaign, then they can probably make something that would be marketable. It wouldn't be favorable, it wouldn't be, as Pew said, popular, but it would be, you know, interesting enough to be enjoyable.
Well, Captain America's a Nazi at the moment, so what can you do?
Anything's possible.
So anything's possible, that's it.
Right, moving on to our next gameplay reveal trailer. Well, the last one, you know what I mean. Our next news item, Sonic Forces. They revealed the Green Hill Zone gameplay with the classic Sonic 2D side-scrolling platformer.
Yeah, so this is the Sonic game that's Sonic Generations 2, except it's not a Sonic Generations sequel. Isn't it? It's the where it alternates between classic and modern, but it's definitely not a sequel.
Yeah. First off, Sonic Forces is a stupid name. Secondly, do we need Green Hill Zone that slow? Because in the original game and any remake that I remember, you can blaze through the level and bop, bop, bop off of badniks. But this, it was kind of slow. He hit badniks and stop.
Well, there were a lot of sort of obstacles that were specifically there to make you stop. Like, no matter what you would do, unless you had played that level and knew it frame perfect, you would have to stop at that point.
Yeah, and a couple of platforms that you had to wait to crumble while you were stood on them.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that I don't know whether it was accurate or not, but it did look like the jumping looked weird as well. Like the momentum for the jump arc was weird, but also the momentum when you hit a bad guy, it does seem to stun you rather than it didn't seem smooth. It was very odd.
And the music didn't really seem to fit. It was nothing like the original. It wasn't a take on the original Green Hill Zone theme.
Yeah, it definitely didn't have a Green Hill Zone feel.
But then I suppose if you want that, then you can play Sonic Mania when it comes out in a few months.
Yeah, but that'll have sprite graphics. It won't have nice polygons.
I think I prefer the sprite graphics, if I'm being completely honest. I thought that Sonic looked quite weird. Although the 3D sort of texture where the background was also still in 3D, that was kind of nice looking, I guess, if a bit confusing.
See, the weird thing is that the Sonic Generations classic levels were really good, and it just seems like this one isn't, from what little we've seen. It's just weird that it's because this is the first one by Sonic Team, I think, since Generations as well.
Yeah. I wonder if the name Sonic Forces means that they're going to bring every Sonic in. So that includes Sonic Boom, which, their sales figures tell the whole story. Right, on to our final news piece. The first DLC for Ghost Recon, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands, titled Narco Road, came out, or was made available to Season Pass holders ahead of its release. And when the trailers were first released, there were lots of explosions and jumps, vehicle jumps and ramps, and I said, a racing DLC with this game's vehicle physics is not going to be good. Cello, you reviewed it for the site. What did you think?
It was a despicable, complete, utter shit piece of garbage.
Now tell us how you really feel.
I went to kill it with fire, beat it into a pulp, slap it with a chair, and then hit Ubisoft in the neck with a bag full of melons.
So once you've set fire to it and burnt its ashes, what will you do with the ashes? Spread them in the Indian Sea and then set fire to the Indian Sea?
I couldn't be held responsible for the pollution that would cause, no. I would just make someone at Ubisoft swallow them. It is really bad. It is I don't know how someone can miss the point of a game so much with a piece of downloadable content. It's like if the next World War II DLC of Call of Duty came with the Sin City like city builder. That's the level of disconnect between the DLC and the main game. Oh, here's a shooter, go build cities. That's the same thing. Here's a tactical shooter, go not shoot people, don't have a squad, and run with cars around a very terrible vehicle system. I can't even syntax properly.
Yeah, on the user reviews on Steam are very negative. It's literally listed as very negative. I can't remember the last time I saw that. Maybe Batman Arkham Knight, which was released completely broken.
What's the percentage of the negative reviews?
There are 72 reviews. 94 reviews, 83 of which are negative.
Oh.
So, like 90%.
That's utterly bad.
The one thing that I took that was interesting out of your review was that all the marketing and stuff up to release kind of hinted that it was going to revolve around racing. And from what you've said in your review, there isn't actually that much racing at all. It's mostly time trial type stuff and nonsense.
There isn't any review, period. Oh, sorry, any racing, period. Like zero, exactly zero. There is absolutely no moment, mission, or side activity in the whole DLC that you actually race against something else. There is no car following you, no car racing you or challenging you. You have no reason. You have a lot of time trials. A lot of the missions are like based around time trials. You get from point A to from point B in like 3 minutes. There is a lot of that, including some very hard ones to do, because you know everybody knows the vehicle physics aren't good, and the roads aren't exactly built for off-roading, so you get a lot of places where you can't go off-road because it would take you 3 minutes to cross a 100-meter gap. If you took the road, it takes like 10 seconds. But then you have a lot of curves and stuff, and so it takes like 5 minutes to get through. So yeah, but there is a complete disconnect from the marketing too, because everything was like, live the narco life and get race cars and Lamborghinis and drive super fast and race, and absolutely nothing in the DLC is about that.
No, it also seems to commit the cardinal sin of DLC, which is remove all your progress from the main game.
My favourite user review, going back to Steam, is if you plan to buy this DLC, do yourself a favour. Take a knife, stab your hand, feel the pain. Then you'll know what the feeling of being an owner of the Narco Road DLC.
No, it is pretty bad. I got like... I almost got like post-traumatic stress disorder after playing it, because I had to rush it in order to complete it for the review, and I wanted to, you know, get the review out as soon as possible to stop people from playing that. And it was pretty like, I got stressed for like 3 hours afterwards and nothing would calm me down. Especially because the ending of the DLC is so stressful, and every single mission in the DLC, including the ending ones, are like insta-fail conditions. It's not stuff like, oh, go there and take out this base. It's always something like, shoot these people before he leaves, shoot these people before they leave, or, I don't know, steal this car before it goes away, something like that, something stupid that doesn't need to be timed, but it always is timed or has a fail condition attached. So what happens is you keep retrying the same thing over and over and over and over again. And due to how badly bugged the DLC is, the last mission took me 3 hours to complete. Like, just the last mission.
Blimey.
If anybody thinks that being like a video game journalist is easy, play Narco Road.
Open Critic, it is listed at 39%. The highest review is a 60, which has dragged it up.
What?
And that's IGN Spain.
Yeah, IGN is paid. I'm pretty sure they're paid.
PSX Brazil gave it 50.
They're Brazilians. They're not consequential.
Game Revolution gave it 20, and you gave it 25, because I wouldn't let you put it lower.
Exactly. So yeah, for anyone listening, that was the editor's fault. I would have given it a 1, but we have ethics and stuff, so we have to put it up.
Yeah, so according to our review scores, it has to be completely unplayable, but as you just heard, he managed to finish it, although if it hadn't taken him 3 hours to complete, I'd have forced him to put it at a 3, but Ubisoft couldn't even help themselves out that much.
No, the lack of quality assurance is pretty obvious. Like, you can see things that no normal player would ever abide in a game. And you see, beside the insta-fail stuff, you have like the lack of enemies in the world. Because the normal game, for anyone who hasn't played, is about taking out a cartel in Bolivia. So it's a narco state, so everywhere is full of cartel people. The DLC has you infiltrating the said cartel, so everyone who was your enemy in the main campaign is actually your ally now. And the DLC introduces a secondary gang that you never heard about to be your enemies, but since they didn't change the map or the locations or anything, the whole map is full of allies. So you actually have to walk around for like 20 minutes before you see one enemy. So it's a tactical shooter that you don't get to shoot people because there are no enemies around.
Goodness. The whole reason it's fun is because you go around and shoot people.
Exactly. It's literally the one saving grace of the whole game. The main campaign is like a buggy mess. It's full of stupid design decisions. It runs well, but could be better. But the shooting is solid, and that's what everyone likes about it. It's a fun shooter. And they just remove the shooting stuff and put a lot of stuff that nobody ever asked for. I'm actually glad to see the positive reaction, to be honest, the positive reaction to my review and to others' reviews, because I was a bit worried that overall people would be like, yay, you know, racing, fuck seriousness, fuck tactical stuff, let's be silly. And I kind of I'm very happy with humanity right now, but they're actually looking at a tactical game and going, this is stupid because it's not tactical, because it's silly. I'm glad that people see the difference between Saints Row being stupidly funny and Ghost Recon not being stupidly funny. So there are separate things and they must be kept apart. I'm really glad about that.
See, that's the thing. GTA and Saints Row can get away with adding racing elements because they're completely ridiculous anyway. And, like, they're not, like, a serious, like you say, they're not set in Tom Clancy's universe, for one. They're not a serious game, so they can get away with stuff like that. But when you're adding to a base that's supposed to be a serious tactical shooter and you're adding silly fluff elements, it's just bizarre.
Maybe the people who designed this DLC were told, no, you can't create such a crazy thing for the crew. So they pitched it to the team in charge of Ghost Recon, and they said, yeah, sure, we'd like that.
See, the thing is that's daft is it would probably fit in the crew.
Yeah.
True, it would. Well, if it had a race, which it doesn't, and if it was good, which it isn't, then yeah.
Ah, goodness. Well, from a game that sucks to games that we think will suck. May's not the meatiest month, but it's got a fair few titles coming out next month. What's everyone's pick?
Get Even, coming out on the 26th of May. I know nothing about... I've actually now done a little bit of research and I feel justified in my pick, but I picked it because I went onto the Wikipedia page and the second sentence is, the game needs more time to get better.
That was attributed to Polygon from the start of this month, uh-oh.
It was announced in 2014.
I've gone onto the website and the screenshots that they've got of the game look very grey and very dismal, and it's got realistic graphics, but it doesn't... I don't think it looks that great. And it just looks grey and miserable, and that might fit the tone, but if Polygon said a month ago it needs more time to get better... That one might need more time in the oven.
That wasn't even a month ago. That was like 3 weeks ago. The Farm 51 is developing it, behind such classics as Time Ace, Necrovision, Necrovision Lost Company, Painkiller Hell and Damnation, Deadfall Adventures, and this upcoming Get Even, and next year's World War 3.
Never heard of any of those.
I recognize some of the names, kind of, but I might be remembering the wrong title.
Yeah, Necrovision was a passable horror game, and Painkiller was a decent entry in the Painkiller series. It wasn't as good as the originals, though. But yeah, the other games on that list are completely, completely outside my sphere of knowledge. I've got no knowledge of any of them.
Yeah, that's going to suck. Puce, shall I?
Yes, sir.
I was going to say Star Trek Bridge Crew, just because everything I've seen from that looks absolutely atrocious.
I believe we brought it up. It was supposed to be released this month, so we brought it up last month. But then it had been bumped to this month. So yeah, that's also, it's worth another mention.
I was going to say Bridge Crew too, so...
Yeah, it just looks so rudimentary and rough. It's like I know it's a VR game, so it can't be like cutting-edge graphics-wise, but it looks really poor.
My argument last month was, you're going to need 4 VR headsets to play this properly. And who has 3 friends with VR headsets?
Yeah, it kind of feels like a VR experiment which is supposed to fail. Which is what I don't understand. It's a Nintendo stupid level of decision. Instead of making a game that, you know, like the old Bridge Commander, which was brilliant, instead of Yeah, instead of making sounds like Bridge Commander, which is like new and awesome and, you know, a nice use of the Star Trek IP, and then add in a specific co-op mode with VRs and stuff, so actually you expand your user base, you have people with normal computers playing and having fun in single player campaign and blah 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 blah, and then you also have a co-op VR version, which, let's be honest, is not that hard to develop. They instead cut off the interesting part, and when the full... In order to play this, you need 3,000 pounds of equipment, which makes zero sense. Like, it makes sense if you're Crytek and you want to show off your specific technology, but we all know what happened to Crytek, and that's not good. So that's also my pick for a game which will suck, not so much because the game is crap, which it may very well be, but because it just simply can't succeed at all.
If you just want to team up with your mates on the bridge of a starship, there is Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator, which came out in 2013. It's obviously got not as nice graphics because it's an indie title, but it's going to cost you £30 for 6 copies of the game, and just pass them out around your mates, all sit around with laptops. And much, much cheaper.
I think they made this under the misguided thought that VR would catch on this year and everyone would have a headset. And even PSVR has which is, I think, the highest sort of purchase rate, is still not... I don't know anyone with a PSVR. Not anyone who isn't developing on it, at least.
Yeah, I think like Charlie says, it would have been better served being a bonus feature or a side feature in another game, in a more fully featured game.
Yeah, which is weird. You go to the trouble of, you know, licensing Star Trek, and then you make a game with all the looks of the new stuff, and then you just restrict that to VR. Just so asinine. I really miss a good Star Trek game. Ages since I got that one.
You can go to GOG and get a load of good Star Trek
games.
Yeah,
I remember the old, like, but Elite Force, I think? Was that the name? I love that.
Yeah, Elite Force, it's yeah. The Voyager one.
Which aren't. They aren't on GOG.
Yeah, though. Those two.
The second one was so, like, innovative. Yeah. The whole thing about the weapon not following the camera and the different stuff and the not amused monkey. I love that. It was so good. And then you have, of course, Bridge Commander, so, yeah. Been a while.
Was it the first one or the second one that had the DLC that let you walk around yeah. Voyager?
The second one was the Enterprise.
It was the first one, yeah.
Okay, now I need to obtain a copy of that.
I've been trying for ages, and my local CEX has the DLC, but not the base game.
I've actually got the disc set right next to me here.
God damn it.
The game that I'm worried about, that I think is going to suck, is The Surge.
Yeah.
I think it's going to suck because it looks like The Technomancer, which came out in the middle of last year.
It's made by... This one also caught my eye, but I'm less concerned about it because it's made by the people who made Lords of the Fallen, which was an alright, if slightly not as good, Dark Souls clone, and The Surge looks like they've gone different setting, new kind of mechanics, kept the same kind of thing but tweaked it enough that it looks like it. I'm not so concerned about that one. I think that actually might be good.
It's a little bit worrying that they themselves describe it as Rise of the Robots and Souls-style combat. It's like, Rise of the Robots is an absolutely atrocious 2D fighting game. Why would you compare it with that?
I hate when people say, oh, it's going to be like this and this. No, why are you comparing it?
Don't be reductive. It's a terrible marketing strategy.
Our game's going to be like Fallout. Yeah, well, now people are going to compare it to Fallout.
Or just buy Fallout.
Yeah.
I'm actually...
goodness me.
I actually got quite interested in The Surge. Like, my first introduction to it was a month ago or so when they released that little trailer of the guy cinematically punching people, and And the music was very good, reminded me of like Payday 2, which has an amazing soundtrack. And actually looked quite forward to the game until I discovered it was kind of like Dark Souls. I saw the gameplay video and I was like, eh, it may not be as good as I thought it would be. I'm hoping it will be. It has more chance of succeeding than, but may not.
Well, those are the kind of games that Deck 13 have been making for about 20 years now. So they've always been making RPGs by the looks of things. And it's moved into that sort of style of combat.
Transocean and Transocean 2 aren't RPGs. They are shipping simulators.
With the exceptions of those. I didn't look at them.
Another one that's coming out towards the end of next month. It was announced a couple of weeks ago. Friday the 13th. The Game. Is it not too late to be capitalizing on that franchise?
This was kickstarted, so evidently not.
Well, it's from what I've read, it's going to be kind of like Evolve. One person controls Jason Voorhees, and the others control other people that are playing as the counselors. And the last, I did just mention Evolve. That didn't do very well.
There was another game that did something similar to this, where someone played a serial killer and everyone else played...
Yep, that one.
Yeah, Dead by Daylight.
It's like...
Yeah, it does seem like it's going for that same style of game audience.
But I don't think Evolve failed because of the asymmetrical multiplayer. I think it failed because of the stupid DLC decisions.
I think the terrible marketing decisions at the start when they announced it, it's like, look at all this DLC we're going to be releasing. it was a mistake.
And the fact that they basically dropped development for that game and then picked it up again, then dropped it again.
I can say that now because the NDA, of course, were off, but I was with 2K at the time and I was like close alpha and close beta and half open and whatever. And both the team, the development team and the QA team and stuff, and the players were quite happy with the state of the game. The overall impression was like, Evolve is good. It can be awesome, like Left 4 Dead, but it needs a few tweaks and is not ready for release. And basically what the company did was, fuck it, as great as it is, let's just release it. And that's what ultimately tanked, because everyone's impressions, including the players and the early reviews and stuff, was the open beta is awesome, but the game is clearly a beta, it needs a little bit of time. And then, like a month later, they release again. And that severely tanked the player base, because everybody knew it wasn't as it should be. And that was made even worse with the slew of DLCs they just released. Like, so many stuff. Like, even before the game was done, they clearly said, this is one season pass, there will be more. And, you know, that wasn't a time that one season pass was amazing. So you're specifically announcing more than one is crazy.
Well, before they even announced the game properly, they'd actually announced a DLC for the game. Their first trailer didn't have a coming soon or whatever. It was pre-ordered for this piece of DLC.
Yeah, it was a Goliath skin, monster, I think. Wasn't it?
Pretty sure it was a Goliath.
Ah, okay.
It was the Meteor Goliath, I think.
Sorry, the reason I went quiet a moment ago was I was looking up Dead by Daylight, and if Friday the 13th appeals to the same player base, then yes, it's probably going to do pretty well, because there's currently over 9,000 people playing it, according to Steam charts.
I saw, because there was a, I don't know if it was a beta or just a Kickstarter thing, quite a few months ago for Friday the 13th, where there was some YouTube videos popped up of it, and it looked better than Dead by Daylight did at the time. Looked a bit more stable and a bit, there was more to do. The map seemed bigger and there seemed just, yeah, more to do. So I would say this is probably gonna not kill that game, because that will Dead by Daylight will have its fan base, but
I think Friday the 13th will be alright.
Fans of the movies will be able to play as various versions of Jason, including Friday the 13th Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, Jason Lives, Part 6, Jason Lives, Part 7, New Blood, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, and Jason Goes to Hell, the Final Friday. So, not Jason X. And, not 4 or 5.
Right, if we're getting, like, a game from Apocalypse Now, I guess we can get a game about...
Well, Apocalypse Now was one movie. This was a franchise.
So it'll be added as a DLC.
Yes, of course. Pre-order now for Jason X.
Space.
Pre-order now for Space!
The difference between this and Apocalypse Now is Friday the 13th raised $2.1 million and Apocalypse Now didn't raise anything.
It did. Their parents all pitched in for it.
Isn't Apocalypse Now made by the same people who made New Vegas or something? Obsidian, I think?
I thought it was made by... Like, the team behind this have also worked on all these titles.
Yeah, it was more of these people have been associated with these other popular franchises.
In the marketing department.
I remember it was a bunch of crappy people, so it's associated with Obsidian.
Poor Obsidian.
But we also have Injustice, which may suck.
Injustice 2? No, the first one was too good.
I like the first one.
I'd like to just retract my Apocalypse Now has raised nothing comment. They've raised $853,000 of their $5,900,000 goal.
Wow, yeah, they're well on their way.
They've got over a year remaining on their own website, and everyone will have forgotten about in yesterday.
I had honestly forgotten about it. Right, what about Prey?
I'm looking forward to Prey.
Arcane are great, so I hope it's good, because it deserves to be, because Arcane are a really solid studio. But I do feel sad that we're never going to see the Bounty Hunter Prey, but this new Prey does look solid in its own way.
I believe you can download a demo of
only
it
if you have
today.
A PS4 or an Xbox One. Yeah. For a console peasant, then yes, go play.
I actually
didn't know about like Prey 2, because I tried playing I remember playing the Prey 1 game back in the day, and I didn't like it. It was kind of boring, so I never really got through with it. And so when Prey 2 was coming out and stuff, I never really paid attention to it. I only discovered the Prey 2 trailers earlier this week, and I agree, the whole Bounty Hunter stuff seemed pretty cool, and it's one of those weird genres and teams that nobody seems to go after. Like, things people should go after, game developers should do, but they never do. That's one of them. Like, bounty hunting in space. A lot of people want that. A lot of people would love the idea of traveling through space, hunting people, and no game ever done it. Like, the closest we got was Bounty Hunter from Star Wars, and even that was, like, good, but not good enough. But yeah, I think the Prey one... seems good because it gives a very strong Dead Space feel, and I own and absolutely love all Dead Space games. So the idea of being like a first person Dead Space just ticks all of my buttons at the same time. Because, you know, space. So.
Well, they've directly said that System Shock is their... This is the new Prey is a,
yeah, which
a spiritual
was a
successor
very
to
strong
System
influence
Shock.
In Dead Space 1 and 2. Which is a good thing.
But System Shock 3 is being developed. It bugs me when people release spiritual successes for games that are getting sequels.
To be fair, when Arcane probably started making the new Prey, which is Prey 2 but not, there probably was an announcement for System Shock 3. The System Shock remaster.
Well, when 3D Realms started work on Duke Nukem Forever, there wasn't a PlayStation 2. So, you know, plans change.
Yeah, I do find it weird that the keeping the prey name, even though it's not connected in any way, shape, or form to any of the previous games that haven't existed or the one that did come out, but it's weird.
I was reading about it earlier today, surreptitiously, and basically it seems that they had a discussion, the Arcane higher-ups and the Tisa higher-ups, including Todd Howard and stuff, and Arcane wanted to develop a new property right after Dishonored came out and was like a success. And the overall idea was, we trust in you guys, but you just have one new IP, and launching a second one can fuck up your growth. So, you know, you have one great new IP, everybody loves it, cool. But if you do a second one and it sucks, your company can tank. So what they did was sit down and think about it, and since Bethesda had the Prey name lying around, they went with the idea of using IP that already exists. So if it sucks, it wouldn't affect the company. And if it doesn't, then hey, you rebooted the thing successfully. So there's a...
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the thing is the term is such a vague term that most people, to be honest, probably have never heard of the original game anyway. So it
may
yeah,
when
well
I
be
was looking into it, like
in
the when I saw the second trailer this week for Prey 2, I was kind of looked at it and it struck me as odd, because my impression of Prey 1 was you're like a Native American Indian in space with an ego or something like that. It has nothing to do with a bounty hunter running in space capturing people. So I guess I think people have a problem not with being a reboot of Prey, but basically because they really wanted a bounty hunter space game and they're not getting it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there.
Isn't Star Wars Bounty Hunter one of the best regarded Star Wars games?
Yeah, I enjoyed it at the time. I quite liked it. I thought the seeing stuff from the bounty hunter's perspective was kind of
the only time I ever played it. It was at a girl's house, and we were busy doing other stuff, so I can't really remember most of the game.
It had quite interesting squad instruction stuff. It was for a console game. It was quite good.
Bounty hunting doesn't really take a front seat in gaming too often. I'm just looking through a list on a site at the minute, and
it seems like a natural reason for the player to have momentum to do stuff. It seems like a quite natural thing without necessarily having an antagonist, or at least not having an antagonist at the start of the game. You're just going after people because you're a bounty hunter and you've been told, and then
and it's free form enough for you to not do that if you don't want to.
Yeah, exactly,
Bounty Hunter missions in GTA 5, for instance, they were some of the most fun I had in that game.
Or Red Dead Redemption, isn't that sort of Bounty Hunter?
With the wanted posters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, you guys remember the game Gun? And it had the stuff about bounty hunting people, so you had to, sometimes you capture them, sometimes you shot them in the ass. It was pretty cool.
But yeah, it is weird that it's always like a side activity and they've never had a game focused on it.
Right, we've run for about 50 minutes now, so unless anyone else has anything they'd like to bring up, any breaking news? That is so far from breaking news.
No news is good news, right? No news is good news, yeah.
When's last time? When's last time you played Helldivers? It can't be that good.
Slacking.
You didn't play it today.
I'm still having a trauma shock because of Narcoroad. I can't get near a computer, Andrew.
Blame Ubisoft.
Alright, well, thank you for joining me, you guys, for this unhosted podcast. And thank you, listener, for joining us while we chatted about all the interesting news and terrible games that are coming out. You can listen to more episodes of the Greencast at gamegrin.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Greencast. Or just go to gamegrin.com to check out everything that we put out, all the articles, reviews, previews, opinions, and I started doing video reviews with Telltale Games Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series, episode 1, Tangled Up in Blue. That title takes up an entire line in Word. Follow us on Twitter at Grincast. Follow Game Grin on Instagram at Game Grin Site. And Facebook, search for Game Grin. I've been Ace Lister, and thank you for listening. Game on.